Welcome to the Natural Radio Show, where beautiful women worldwide come together in peace, harmony, and respect. Natural Radio Show is a platform for holistic and sufficient discussions. Our topics are centered on uplifting and empowering women and men worldwide on the Natural Radio Show. Once again, this is your host, Cynthia Mendez, on the Natural Radio Show. And please be advised that this is a 30 to 45 minute audio recording. Tonight's topic is going to be about how to give and receive constructive criticism. And our opening quote on tonight is, transparency and communication is key. So, the first thing that I wanted to touch on is observation of the person, okay? And what I mean by observation of the person, meaning whom you are communicating with, okay? So, before I even begin, this topic on tonight was inspired by the book that I was reading 3 weeks ago on the show, which was 10 Skills for Effective Business Communication by Jessica Higgins. So this book is, this topic is inspired by the reading in the book, and it's just me going over some things from chapter 6 on how to give and receive constructive criticism. Okay, so I will be reading a selection from there later in the show to give an example of what actionable versus rude feedback is. So we will like to stay tuned for that. So when I say observation of the person, that consists of finding balance between being open and reciprocal regarding communication. Okay, so finding the balance between the two would actually allow the other person to be open to what you're saying and also to be receptive of what you're saying, and then in return reciprocate what was presented to them while you were in communication. For example, let's say you given someone constructive criticism on something that they may have done good. Understand that too much praise would disarm the person from reality. Meaning, if you always giving a person accolades and you always saying, great job, this, that, the third. Don't get me wrong, you got to give credit to where credit is due. But if you're constantly doing this to the same person, the person going to feel like, I'm so good at what I do that I can afford to be laxatile, or I can afford to be sloppy. And that's not the aim that you want to go in or be able to give that person too much praise. You understand? So like I said, they might lose sight of reality of what's taking place. So you want to be able to minimize that. Okay, now on the contrary to that, let's say too much fault finding will cause a person to become defensive or closed off, meaning they close their ears off to whatever it is that you're saying or whatever it is that you're trying to present to them. They just don't want to hear it, because if you're always trying to find fault in the person or trying to find something that they did that was wrong constantly and always judging them or prejudging them on the pretense of their past mistakes or wrongdoings, that's not allowing a person to move forward when you always being a fault finder. So like I said, as a result, it's going to cause the person to be defensive and rude, or sometimes altogether just closed off to what it is that you're saying. For example, they might numb all of their feelings and they become inactive and don't work on improving whatever it is that you're criticizing them on. So that's more or less of like destructive criticism. Okay, so now as we move along to framing tough conversations and the context of the conversations, it means everything when it's understood. So framing consists of opening up to receiving a question. Okay. So for example, framing is when a person asks you a concrete question, whereas you can't deter from the question in itself. So for example, it would be, let's say you ask a person, why are you interested in playing the piano? Okay, that's a framing question that you're asking the person, whereas once again, you're allowing that person to open up to what, you know, to receiving whatever the question is. When you say to them specifically, why are you interested in playing the piano? It gives them time to respond. It gives them time to open up to what it is that you're saying, even though you framed the question to something specific and actionable at that. Okay, now tough conversations can be a little bit out of the comfort zone, but at the same time, one of the best ways to approach a tough conversation is when you're trying to tell somebody something, and it may kind of be on the embarrassing side or not so good side. You might want to say to the person, don't take this the wrong way when I say, you know, when I say so and so, or just simply say, don't take this the wrong way, and then present whatever it is that you need to explain to them. Meaning, you know, when you say don't take it the wrong way, meaning don't take whatever it is that I'm saying to you negatively. Look at it from a positive, optimistic side versus being negative and pessimistic towards the information that's being given. A lot of people don't like to be told that they wrong about something, especially if they are egotistical and they feel that they are a know-it-all. Okay, that's the worst. That's the worst person to actually even try to initiate any communication with, because it's almost as if it's a barrier, a communication barrier. Like they're not just trying to hear anything that you're saying. Okay, so context, on the other hand, context involved subjective and meaning, if you're talking about something and you bring in context to whatever it is that you're explaining to a person, it could be political views, it could be a belief system, it could be anything, but you bring in some type of meaning and definition to what it is that you're saying, and you're not going off the rear end, or you're not talking about more than one thing. You're keeping it very specific and straightforward. Okay, so that's what context is all about. So when you use those three types of strategies when communicating, as far as framing a question to where you're allowing the person to be open up to receiving the question, opposed to wanting to avoid it, you know, you're asking in a way where you're giving them a chance to actually respond versus closing their ears out on the contrary and it just ignoring you, period. Okay, so another factor is tough conversations. You know, another factor that you can do, you know, with younger crew, sometimes you can always say to a person, you know, which one would you want to know? You could say, I have good news and I have bad news. Which one would you like to know first? A lot of times people might say the bad news first. And then you just say, you know, you say what it is. But don't go around the issue. Like, people like to take a walk around the park metaphorically before they get to the actual point of the conversation. Like, no, be straightforward and direct. Say whatever it is that the issue is. Be clear and concise and letting the person know what the bad news is. And then when you are able to share the good news, it kind of like balances out everything, because it's like, okay, the person knows what to do, how to do it, being that you gave them the bad news, you've given them the option to decide whatever what it is that they need to do, and then you are basically balancing out the conversation with something good, because now they know that they have an option. Okay, so moving along to giving constructive feedback. So as I've been saying throughout the whole show, giving constructive feedback consists of being specific and actionable. Okay, so for example, if you are giving someone a compliment and let's say you just say, great job, you know, thumbs up, great job. And you're telling somebody great job, there's no context or meaning behind it because, yeah, it might make the person feel good inside, like, okay, this person liked what I did, but are they saying great job to how I look or, you know, dress, or are they saying great job to, you know, being a coworker or knowing me? Like, sometimes you have to be specific. You have to say great job at the new project you've completed this quarter. If it's a coworker, or if you're saying thank you, you might want to say thank you for XYZ. So that way the person would know what it is that you're complimenting them for. What you're giving them a thank you for. You know, all of those things plays a factor into communicating. Okay? All right. So, using the example of great job. Once again, if it's a coworker, you're saying great job at the new project you've completed this quarter. So first of all, the context in that statement in itself is that you gave it some dynamic when you said the new project. So they already know what you're complimenting them on for. Okay. And then you said completed. So now it's giving them more of an idea that, okay, they like the fact that I worked on a new project and I completed it at a specific time, which is this quarter. So it makes them feel good inside. It lets them know what they did a good job on, and then it lets them know what they can work on in the future two times as better than what, you know, what was initially initiated. Okay, so when giving compliments, when giving feedback, you always want to bring context to it, give meaning to it, give some type of definition to behind the compliment in itself. Some compliments is okay. You keep it simple, basic. You're saying, oh, you look nice today. That's fine. They know that you're talking about that they look nice today, meaning how they're dressed. Okay, that's fine. But if you're giving someone a compliment to where you're giving them credit for something that they have done, say what it is that they did. Okay, that's what makes it so valuable and meaningful when you bring dynamic and context to the feedback that you're giving, or constructive feedback that you're giving. Okay, so now, you know, when I talked about this whole thing with good news and bad news, I wanted to move along to when sharing less than great news, which is also, as we all know, is bad news. You don't want to be vague. Okay, do not be vague. And once again, like I said, do not do the walk in the park when you're giving someone bad news. You have to be clear and cut and giving the person the bad news so that they will already know, because you don't want the person to be in a state of worry, or, you know, you don't want them to be in a state of, you know, being conflicted. You want to tell them exactly what it is and don't beat around the bush. Okay, this is what adults do. Adults say what it is. They, you know how sometimes when you're talking to somebody and they say, just spit it out, come on, say it. But when you're given, less than good news, you have to be straightforward. You know, your expression might be able to show the person that this is not good news, or your tone of voice, you know, if the person is not in front of you, would know that this is not good news, you know. But how you give it, when you're clear and cut, is a good way in terms of being able to give feedback on something that is not good. Okay. Vagueness isn't a smart tactic to use. It can cause frustration on the person, as I said before, causing them to be conflicted on behalf of the listener and the receiver. Okay, so when you're communicating less than great news to someone, you want to make sure that you are aware, not of your emotions, not of how you feeling or your message that you want to get across so badly. You want to be able to focus on the fact as to how the person is going to receive what it is that you're saying. So you're not, it's not just a one-sided kind of thing where you're just delivering and you're not worried about, delivering the message, but you're not worried about how the listener is going to receive whatever it is that you're doing. Effective communication is when you're able to give it and be able to receive it as well. Okay, so this is what also makes conversations more valuable when you have when you have in that type of interactions with people, that's what makes the conversation mature and valuable in itself. Okay, so now that I talked about when sharing less than great news, I want to talk about how you can actually rephrase some of the terminologies used, how you might give feedback or constructive criticism to someone. So the first two things that you want to avoid at all costs is rephrasing the fact of "you always" or "you never." Okay, "you always" and "you never" is not a good way of giving constructive criticism, because you're showing that the person has some lack of responsibility. They don't have no consideration, and that may not be a fact, especially when you say "you always." It's not a fact that the person always do it. It's just that when you view it, you see that you get to see that part of the situation or have that interactions with a person. For example, let's say if you see somebody's doing something wrong, okay, instead of you seeing them doing something that's wrong and you thinking, "oh, well, they're supposed to have common sense. They should know that they're supposed to twist, or do something a certain way," and you expecting them or you thinking that they're doing it, but then you see that they did it a second time. You brush it off the first time, okay, well, they didn't do it right, or whatever the case might be. And then they do it a second time, and you like, okay, they did this again. Like, what is wrong with them? You never approached them. You never said anything. But here it is. You see that this person is doing the same thing. Now, for the third time, you see them do it for the third time. Now, because you witnessed it for a third time, you saying that they always do it. No, it's not that they always do that. They're not aware of whatever it is that they're doing wrong. So therefore, they're going to keep repeating the same action, if not corrected, because maybe that person don't know. So this is why you have to go to the person to let them know. And once you let them know, and if they continuously thereafter repeat the action, maybe you can say, instead of "always," you often do the same thing all the time. When I'm, presented, and I see a situation, just basically rephrasing from "always" or "never." You don't want to use those types of phrases when you give a constructive feedback or you are giving constructive criticism to someone. So now when you address something to the person that they're doing wrong, it makes them aware. They get it. They understand. Maybe they learn something new just by how you present it to them. It's not what you're saying, because what you're saying could be correct, but it's how you say it. Because if you're saying it with frustration, or you're saying it with judgmental perspective, or you're saying it from a perspective of antagonizing the person, that's not, they're not going to be reciprocal of what you're saying, because it's not what you're saying that's correct. It's how you're saying it to where it's going to cause the person to be closed off. You want to be able to be conscious of what you're saying and how you're saying it to the person. That's a part of being an adult. That's a part of being responsible for communicating. When you have an interaction or exchange with a person, that means putting your emotions to the side and finding a solution to the problem and not perpetuate the problem because you want to add your emotions into the equation. Okay, that's not going to solve the issue. Okay, so rephrasing it with absolute intentions that's geared towards the conversation, moving towards or in the direction of constructive criticism or feedback versus destructive criticism and feedback. Okay, so if you are bringing your emotions into it and how you're saying it is nasty or coming across like you have an attitude with the person, they're not going to receive it regardless of what you're saying that may be correct. They're not going to receive it because you're disrespecting them underhandedly. It's an undertone behind what it is that you're saying to the person that they are picking up versus what you're actually saying. Okay? And that, like I said, that's going to perpetuate the same issue if you don't tackle it right away. You have to tackle it by putting your emotions away to the side and saying, you know what, there's a problem. I need to let this person be aware of it, and I need to be conscious of how I'm gonna say this to this person so that way they are aware of it and they can take action otherwise, versus doing the same repeated action over and over. Okay, that's the approach that you want to take, because it alleviates a problem or issue, something that's so small that, you know, can easily be rectified. Okay, so now moving along to framing conversations with constructive steps towards the future. This is also written in the book. Okay, rather than highlighting what the person done wrong. Okay, so like I said, that whole mind frame of perpetuating, you know, the issue. When you're not conscious of how you're saying it, but what you're saying is correct, but you're not conscious of how you're saying it because you're frustrated, you know, and you're going to cause the other person to be closed off, and, you know, it's just going to be a messy situation, you know. So when you're framing the conversation, you want to give steps towards whatever it is that you want the person to improve. You can say, for example, on a job, a person keep coming in late. Or they might be five minutes late, or let's say 10 minutes late. And let's say the first time they do it, you notice that they 5 minutes late on the job. Okay, you say, all right, it's nothing. Maybe they probably was, you know, stuck up in, you know, traffic or something, or whatever the case might be, you know. You brush it off. Then the second time they do it, and you're like, okay, this person came in again at 5 minutes late. Like, what's going on? Okay, so now you let that fly. And then they do it a third time. They come in late. The third time. Now it's your responsibility. If, let's say, you are a supervisor or a manager, it's your duty to address that person to let them know. Okay? So now, let's say as the manager, supervisor, you let the person know, okay, listen, you come in 5 minutes late. Maybe it's not even 5 minutes late, but you notice that they come in 10, 20 minutes late all the time. And, you know, you're concerned as a supervisor and manager. You bring it to their attention. Okay? Now, let's say they open to what you're saying. They hear what you're saying. You be like, listen, I know that I've noticed for the past 3 days that you've been coming in, you know, at least 5 or 10 minutes late. And I just wanted to bring to your attention that your shift starts at XYZ. Okay, it would be good if you can at least, you know, try to, you know, set your timer at least, you know, 10 minutes before, so that way you can arrive at work 10 minutes before your time, so that way you can be ready and set for work, you know. Now, you presented that way to them because you gave them a solution. You told them what the issue was. You gave them a solution thereafter. Okay, now you delivered the message. They received the message because you said it with professionalism and you gave them something to look forward to. Like, okay, so my manager, my supervisor is telling me that I'm 5 minutes or 10 minutes late. Okay, I'm going to take in consideration of, you know, at least putting my time 10 minutes ahead so that way I can arrive at work 10 minutes early, so that way I know I'm here on time. Okay, so they take that in consideration because now they know what they're working towards. Okay, so now let's say on the other hand that they say to you on the other hand that, you know, I was under the impression that I start at 9:15, but you know you scheduled them for 9. So if they under the impression that you have them scheduled for 9:15, you want to also be able to rectify the situation and say, no, your shift starts at so-and-so XYZ 9 instead of 9:15. Because you never know, that person could have had misinformation. Okay, or they could have been told to be here at a certain time, and that's not the time that they were supposed to be. Okay, so just having that approach, you know, and especially let's say, you know, on the contrary to having that constructive dialogue with someone, a destructive dialogue, on the other hand, would be, you know, let's say the same scenario, the person coming in 5 or 10 minutes late, and you say to them, you always coming in 5 or 10 minutes late. This is not acceptable. You need to stop coming in late. You know, when you share that with the person, that's going to make them closed off. Like, they're going to be trying to rationalize, like, okay, I've been here, you know, for 3 days out of the week, and you saying I'm always late, or I'm never here on time. You know, that's more of an exaggerated point and very destructive to the person that's receiving it. You understand? Do y'all understand what it is that I'm trying to get at and what I'm saying? So it's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. And you want to make sure that you're accurate and correct, that you're using facts opposed to exaggeration when you're giving people, you know, constructive criticism and feedback on something. Okay, so now feedback, on the other hand, should be aimed at improvement. And as I said before, it should be a step-by-step process in what a person is aware of and what to do and how to complete the constructive criticism given. Okay, so now I am going to read actionable versus rude example that's from the book called The 10 Skills for Effective Communication by Jessica Huygens. So it says actionable versus rude. One example of rude rather than actionable feedback comes from a famous entrepreneur, Tyra Banks. Someone once told her she was too fat for a photo shoot, to which she said something along the lines of, "Thank you. There is absolutely nothing I can do to change that. So you just made me feel like shit for no reason." I absolutely adore this example because telling someone to stay to lose 15 pounds for an upcoming modeling shoot is specific and actionable, whereas telling them they're currently unfit is just plain rude and useless. Now, see that example right in itself? Do you see what I mean between actionable versus rude context? She, you know, Jessica Huygens even mentioned in the difference between an actionable constructive feedback when she said, instead of saying to Tyra Banks to lose 15 pounds for an upcoming modeling shoot, it's specific and actionable. They chose to just say, which is ignorant, you're too fat. Okay, so what good is that when you give destructive criticism to someone versus constructive criticism? Okay, so that was my point for tonight's show. And I just wanted you all to know that I thank you for taking the time out for listening to the Natural Radio Show, and tune in to next week on August 15th, 2020, on the Natural Radio Show. Good night.